My guest is humorist Alice Kahn. Her twice-weekly column in the San Francisco Chronicle is part satire, part social commentary, and part memoir. Kahn's new book is a collection of columns titled My Life as a Gal. Her subjects range from her prom night to the gentrification of her neighborhood. In fact, Alice Kahn is credited with inventing the term yuppie. I asked her how she came up with it.
Well, I was sitting in my room in my gentrified neighborhood in North Berkeley, California, and thinking about what happened that made all the shoe repairs disappear and caused five cappuccino cafes to open up in a two-square block area in a two-month period. And I thought, well, there's been this invasion of young urban types. And I had seen a cartoon in The New Yorker by Roz Chast called Attack of the Young Professionals. And I thought, yes, it's happened here. And I was going through the chronology of the generation from hippie to yippie. And finally, you know, it just seemed yuppie was the perfect cute little word that got at the essence of this type.
Well, you've updated your writing about yuppies, and you wrote an article called Where Have All the Yuppies Gone? And you imply that babies are changing the yuppie lifestyle. How is the presence of babies changing the lives of yuppies?
Well, right away they leave fingerprints on the furniture, which is, you know, a real destroyer to the... There's sort of a stage set quality to the young urban professional's lifestyle that children are messy, and they mess things up both psychologically, emotionally, in a very nice way. I mean, I think people should be messed up. Babies do have this terrible way of humanizing people. I ran into a friend of mine, a psychotherapist, who read that essay and told me how true it was that her children had humanized her. And I said to her, somewhat jokingly, and I'm sure you would have rather stayed a bitch. And she knew what I meant. It's nobody will give up their perfections unless forced to. And babies are a much nicer way of being forced to than, say, death and dying and aging and the nasty way life changes us.
But Alice, on the one hand, you say that babies are humanizing yuppies, but on the other hand, you fear that babies are just the latest consumer fad.
Well, I think a lot of people got into babies in the same way they got into cocaine or into their careers or into any number of things. You know, at some point when people got into babies, they discovered that they were a little harder to get out of. And I have a sort of tongue-in-cheek essay on the effect of children on the yuppies in the book called How to Raise a Perfect Chump, Children of Upwardly Mobile Professionals. But it's really definitely having a profound change. And it's really splitting the generation in a way it's never been split, even by class lines, into parents and non-parents. And I don't think we've seen the full extent of that. But to some degree, we're seeing it in the concern over neighborhood and community of the parents versus the interest in more new developments, new stores, new activity in have-not children group.
When you were in kindergarten, you once listed your ambition as to be a writer, but you never really pursued it as an adult until you were the mother of two, and I think in your late 30s. Why did you wait so long until you started to write professionally?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Part of it has to do with the fact that I grew up as a girl, and I never thought about what I was going to do for money when I grew up. I thought about what I was going to do to satisfy myself, and I wanted to be a poet, and I wrote poems. And then I graduated from college, and I looked in the want ads under poet, and, you know, there wasn't like a long list for them. But around the time I might have become a writer, which was the late 60s, I became involved in sort of this political attitude of the time, which was that the world was coming to an end. The Vietnam War was going to result in, if not nuclear annihilation, revolution at home. And the arts seemed irrelevant at the time. So I became a nurse. I was going to be a war nurse. You know, I'd seen all those Ann Sheridan 1940s movies. And that was sort of my fantasy. And I got got involved in the free clinic movement of the time and the women's health movement and sort of went through that whole thing. And once I was safely ensconced in my role as the, you know, angel of mercy nurse, then I could sort of act out the naughty, wild need for creativity side in writing. And around this time, which was about 5 years ago, I discovered that there was this whole series of alternative press papers in the country. You know, there's one in almost every city. Every place where there's a cappuccino machine and a futon shop has a free or cheap alternative press, which has some, you know, amazingly loose, experimental, interesting writing. And that's where I found I could sort of let myself go.
So by funding the alternative press, you were able to be politically correct and write at the same time.
Or even have fun with being politically incorrect and seeing what that provoked. That was probably the most interesting. And in fact, that yuppie piece got an incredible number of angry letters, just hysterical letters that were self-satires, letters from people saying things like, "How dare you make fun of people who eat croissants?"
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I really ought to ask you if you ever considered yourself to be a yuppie. Because you never meet anybody who says that they feel that they're a yuppie. It's always the other person.
I think it has some, you know, did I ever consider myself a yuppie? I'd say a yuppie wannabe was sort of my fantasy. When I was in college and I was going to Columbia University and I was going to be a mad poetess, but then at night I had this little running serial in my mind. I would go to sleep, but I wouldn't fall asleep. I'd stay up all night because I was an insomniac. And I'd have this continuing serial where I'd move to an elevated building on the east side of New York and I'd, you know, look perfect all the time, and I'd have this wonderfully designed apartment, and I don't know what I'd go off and do, but somehow I'd come home in the evening and have, you know, dinner and wine, and everything would be just so fine and so delightful. But sure, I'm as upwardly mobile as the next guy.
It's interesting that you have maintained your marriage for, was it over 20 years now?
And you've on August 14th, it'll be 21 years, yeah.
That's a long time, and you've been through a lot of changes in your life since you were mm-hmm. married, and I should mention you married your high school sweetheart.
We went to the prom together, yes.
Now, I should also mention that sometime, and I guess in the late 60s or something, you threw out your wedding album because you were slightly embarrassed by it.
Yes, I burned it in what I call the bourgeois purges of the Maoist period, which I'm terribly, you know, just last week I said, oh, I wish I had that wedding album. But it's okay. The snapshots are in my head. You know, I can still see, you know, great grandma Rose wandering through the synagogue, and I can still see the guests eating up all the crab mousse before we got to it. And it was a terrific day, the day of my wedding. I had a great time.
You've divided a woman's life into three stages: girlhood, galhood, and old girlhood. And you are entering the stage now of old girlhood, yes?
Although I look great, I just, you know, I think the listeners ought to know that, you know, we're being tongue-in-cheek about old girlhood because, in fact, I wrote a column for my newspaper column in the Chronicle. I wrote a column called "I'm Old, Fat, and Ugly," and after that, everybody who met me said, "You're not old, fat, and ugly," and I said, well, I guess that was what I wanted to hear. I guess I needed that.
You started writing in the alternative press. You now have your column in the San Francisco Chronicle. What has it been like for you to write about such personal things in such a public place?
It's made me feel like some kind of pervert who has to expose herself, but it's also made me feel like I have these friends, just like I wanted when I wrote to my pen pals and when I was a kid. People meet me, they know all about me, and now then it's just my job to ask about them. And I've laid my cards on the table, so I feel it makes interviewing people a lot easier.
At the beginning of your book, you say, "Why else am I slaving over a hot disk drive except for your affection?" And do you really think that's why you write?
Absolutely. I want to be a popular kid.
Alice Kahn, thanks a lot for talking to us.
My pleasure.
Alice Kahn's new book is called My Life as a Gal.